test.
This conference will
put your dream to the test. This is part two. Last week we did part one where I did the introduction about dreams, and I went through about, you know, what this book is truly all about, that most people fail to realize their potential because their dream becomes hypothetical. That was a beginning statement in the book. I got some clicking in the background. I don't know what that's from, but Lydia, we got clicking in the background. Okay, it just started when you started taping it. I just want you to know that it's kind of an irritant to me. Can you stop taping and start again? I don't know if you can do that. I'm trying to get rid of that, people. I don't know if you can hear it, but I sure can get it. No, it's...
This conference will...
Okay, we're back on. Great. All right, good. Got rid of the clicking. Wonderful. Technology does work. Okay, so we're talking about put your dreams to the test. Part two, again, like I said, last week we talked about part one where this is John Maxwell's brand new book. He just had it published, and of course we had the opportunity to buy it at Manifest this year, and I love John Maxwell. I have a whole library of his here. So it was fun to buy his new one and read it, and it's a great book. And in his book, he talks about the reasons why most people, notice the statistic, most people fail to realize their potential because their dream becomes hypothetical. And the book is a way to take the dream from ethereal to achievable, and that's cool, that an opportunity for us to examine why we're not reaching our dream and reaching our potential. And he gives the definition of a dream, which I want you all to keep in your head. A dream is an inspiring picture of the future that energizes your mind, your will, your emotions, empowering you to do everything you can to achieve it. Isn't that great? And that definition is there. And that's I like to isolate that definition because I want to make sure people focus on what a dream is, because sometimes we think too small. And when you think too small, I don't think thinking too small is going to empower you to do everything you can to achieve it. You get it? A dream has to be inspirational in itself, and so we need to think big. Dreams are valuable commodities. They propel us forward. They give us energy. They make us enthusiastic. Everyone should have a dream, and this is absolutely true. So in the chapter, he goes through a questionnaire, a dream test, and each of you got the dream test last week, and I noticed there are some typos in it, so I resent it out to all of you because I know what typos do to me. They just cause me to kind of shut down. So I want to make sure you had a clean copy, and so we resent that out to you. Hopefully all of you took the dream test. And by taking the dream test, what you've been able to do, if you're totally honest with yourself around your dream, assuming you have one, then you're going to find areas on that dream test where you have weaknesses, where the answers to the responses weren't very good, so that you know what you need to work on in terms of those 10 questions that they ask. So that's the purpose of the dream test, to isolate for you what areas need a special attention. And then you can go back and focus in the book on that specific chapter. Well, I'm going through all 10 chapters for you on each one of those questions. And the first two questions was, making it sure it's your dream. In other words, do I own my dream? Is my dream really my dream? That was chapter one. We went over that last week. And we also went through chapter two last week, which was the clarity question. Do I clearly see my dream? And the critical importance of you to have clarity around your dream, because without clarity, you have nothing. And you can't give direction, you can't get people behind you, you can't get support, you can't even support yourself moving forward if you don't have clarity. You're just going to be this moving blob with no direction. So clarity is really crucial. So that might be one of your issues, and you got to work on that. The other 8 questions we're going to go over today. So we got a lot to cover, and we've got 40 minutes to do it, so let's run with the races. It gives me about 5 minutes per question. So let's hit it. The third question around dreams, testing your dream is, am I depending on factors within my control to achieve my dreams? Am I depending on factors within my control to achieve my dreams? And, of course, you want that answer to be absolutely. Because the important thing is that your dream must be based in some sense in reality. Some of you say that reality is the enemy of a dream, but it's not. And reality is the enemy of fantasies, but not dreams. In other words, dreams come from imagination and creativity, but they must have a chance of coming true. You can't put a dream out there that's so pie in the sky that it just has no chance of becoming true. And some people say, well, the Lord said anything is possible through him. Well, I agree with that, but I think that when we put a dream out there, when we make it so pie, quote unquote, pie in the sky, it's very hard for us to achieve it because it's so out there that we just, you know, we have a hard time grappling with clarity or directional, and then we get discouraged. It creates discouragement. So I want you to make sure that your dream isn't so crazy that it's going to rob you from ever moving forward. And then what happens is people that make their dreams so crazy, they just give up on dreaming. But, you know, dreaming to have, the Lord laid something on my heart about $1 million, and I didn't give up on that one, but I felt He gave it to me on my heart. He gave my dream. And when you pray about it, if you got that spiritual side to you going, rely on what comes into your heart, because He's not going to give you anything you can't achieve. So that's another way to look at it for the spiritual people that are tied into that, that's, you know, when you feel that real passion in your heart for something, I'm going to suggest to you that it's the Lord laying that on your heart. So grab onto that. You can feel confident that that's not something that's you know, a fantasy. Dreams are not about luck. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, shallow men believe in luck, strong men believe in cause and effect. I love that. You know, this concept of luck, just cross it off. It's nice to be lucky. I mean, it's nice to have things, and some of us don't even use the word luck in our life. We always look at it just, you know, the Lord's blessing us. We have the universe that comes around us and supports us. We have, you know, there's so many ways of looking at it. I think you can call it, if you want to call it luck, that's up to you to choose that word. But I really believe that when we put motion in action, we get a tremendous amount of support from the universe around that, and it can look like luck. I mean, drawing a lottery ticket can look like luck. I mean, there are a lot of things that you can say are lucky. But for purposes of moving forward, we don't sit back and wish for something. We don't want to sit back and wait to be lucky to win something. That's one of the reasons I've never bought a lottery ticket in my entire life. I don't believe in it. I mean, it's a waste of money. I'd rather pour that $1 or $2 into something that produces results than buying a lot. I just won't do it because it's about putting my, it's almost like that wishful thinking that somehow that's going to be when my ship comes in, it's going to be dependent on me winning a lottery. Well, craziness is that, because we know what the percentage chance, one in the millions that you ever win that. People are successful in the long run, do not leave anything to chance. Exactly. People who are successful in the long run do not leave anything to chance. Isn't that a great statement? Think about that, how it applies in your life. Don't leave anything to chance. And the next statement, he says, read the fine print. The fine print is reality. And here's what you'll find. You'll find that, number one, the journey you take is going to take longer than you hoped. The obstacles are going to be more numerous than you believe. The disappointments will be greater than you expected. The lows will be lower than you imagined. And the price will be higher than you anticipated. So all of that will become true in your reality. But the more unrealistic your dream, the more you rely on things that are outside your control. Remember, this got back to the statement, are you depending on factors within your control to achieve your dreams? If you have an unrealistic dream, then you're going to be depending on things that are outside your control. And the more concerned you become with things that you can't control, the less you're going to do about the things you can control. What does this look like for us? I just gave you an analysis and an analogy with Manatech that we can't control prospects saying yes, can we? We can do the best job we can, but it's still their option to say no to us. And if we get caught up in getting so many no's, if we get caught up in the few no's that we get, we're going to become fearful and negative and lose confidence, and then we stop prospecting like we should. Well, that's the classic concept. We're getting so concerned with things we can't control, whether the prospect says yes or no, that we do less prospecting. Well, that makes no sense. It makes no sense. Because we're giving our dream up to things we can't control. That makes no sense. We know that statistically, if we approach so many people, we're going to get so many yeses. So we just need to approach more people. The more no's we get, the more people we need to approach. So don't say goodbye to your dreams because you put so much concern into things you can't control. Are your dreams based on your strengths? Why is that important? Because strengths activate what they call the law of least effort. Are you familiar with that law? The law of least effort. Let me give you some background on what that comes from. I think Deepak Chopra gives a good description of that in his 7 Spiritual Laws of Success. And he says in there, the law of least effort is about finding your true purpose and your true area of excellence in your life. So you find your true purpose and your true area of excellence in your life. And he says, the book said that the law of least effort works when you follow your own nature, what is natural for you. So that's what we need to do, work on our strengths, follow our strengths. And this goes along with what we've seen in the past in many trainings about don't work on your weaknesses. Even John Maxwell said that the other day when he was talking at Manifest. He said, if you work on your weaknesses, you're going to get good at being mediocre at something. So you want to build on your strengths, and that's what you want to do. So that's the law of least effort, when you emphasize your strengths. Number two, building on strengths enables consistently good results. It builds on consistently good results. It's success isn't an event, it's a lifestyle. And dreams get fulfilled when somebody performs with excellence day in and day out and day in and day out. And that only comes if you work on your area of strengths. And then number three is give you your highest return. Give you your highest return. That's what building, when you work with your strengths, you're going to get your highest return. Aristotle said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is then not an act but a habit." If your habits don't line up with your dreams, then you need to either change your habits or change your dream. Most of us, I suggest, need to change our habits. So we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is then not an act, but a habit. So let's look at what our habits are and start changing some of those habits. All right, so that's number three. Number four question is, does my dream compel me to follow it? This is the passion question. If you work on something exciting that you really care about, you don't have to be pushed. The vision pulls you. That's Steven Jobs of Apple Computer, we know. This is critical. If you're not passionate about your dream, I'm going to suggest that you find your dream, because then it's not your dream. Your dream will inherently cause you to feel excitement around it. So you want to find that passion. Passion does three things for us. Passion pulls us up and allows us to overcome adversity. We really want to be people coming, fighting adversity in a way, and being passionate about something helps you fight adversity. Poet William Arthur Ward suggested that the key to success is to believe while others are doubting, plan while others are playing, study while others are sleeping, decide while others are delaying, prepare while others are daydreaming, begin while others are procrastinating, work while others are wishing, save while others are wasting, listen while others are talking, smile while others are frowning, commend while others are criticizing, and persist while others are quitting. What is going to give you the energy to believe, to plan, to study, to decide, to prepare, to begin, to work, to save, to listen, to smile, to commend, and to persist? The answer is passion. So passion pulls us up and allows us to overcome adversity. Passion pushes us out, giving us initiative. We must stay in our comfort zone, but continually move outside our comfort zone. In other words, what happens with passion is it pushes us out. It causes us to be unreasonable. People will look at us and say, oh, my gosh, why are you doing that? You're stepping so far out. People look at me sometimes. At church yesterday was another whole thing. I sit on the personnel committee, and we're interviewing people, and these other people on the personnel committee just shake their heads when Mary Jo asks questions. You know, it was just because it's so outside the box for them, the things I ask. But the questions I ask are so about who is inside of you. You know, what makes you tick? What are you passionate about? What's your greatest dream you've had? People go, I don't know. I go, yeah, you know, I want to hear those answers. Well, you know, some of the people on the personnel committee look at me like, I love to go outside the box. It's not about looking a certain way. It's about I want to find out about a person. What causes them to tick? What's inside? So just be glad you're not interviewing for a job at our church. No, I'm kidding. Mary Jo would be incredible at the interview process. But I have fun with it. I never intimidate people. I just open their hearts and minds to new ways of looking at it. And it's fun to watch them as they break down in the interview process when they finally get loose enough to be themselves. It's a remarkable. But that's what those kind of questions finally generate, and that's what you want to see when you interview people, is you want to see the real person. But passion makes us unreasonable. George Bernard Shaw wrote, he said, I'm sick of all the reasonable people. They see all the reasons for doing nothing. It's the unreasonable people that take incredible action to do something and move outside that box. So passion pushes you outside that box. Passion positions us well. It gives you the greatest odds for success. And Albert Schweitzer says, success is not the key to happiness. Happiness, on the other hand, is the key to success. And that's absolutely so true. Malcolm Forbes said, the biggest mistake people make in life is not trying to make a living at what they enjoy. Isn't that amazing? Find what you love to do and make a living off of that. Dreams come true when gifts are set on fire with passion. It's another great quote. All right, I gave you a passion test. It's attached to the outline today, and I want you to take it. So first of all, you got to put your dream in. You have clarity around what your dream is, right? Remember, we talked about clarity. So everybody has to have a dream, and then you have to have clarity with it. And then look at the passion scale that's attached to the outline, and find out where you are on the scale of 1 to 10. 10 being my passion is so hot that it sets other people on fire. I love that. Number one is, I'd rather have a root canal. Oh, sorry, Lydia put camel. It means root canal. I'd rather have a root canal without anesthesia. More typos, sorry. Anyway, but what you want to do here is you want to go through 1 through 10 and see, where does your passion fall out? Where does it come out on that scale? And then run with that. And see, and the idea, he says, if your passion on that passion scale gets below 8, then you need to reconsider your dream because it's probably in trouble. So take that passion test. How do you stoke your passion? Well, first thing you got to do is you got to take into account what your natural temperament is. Are you a controller, an analyst, a promoter, a supporter? What quadrant do you fall in? And take into account that that's your quadrant, so there's only so much you can do around that quadrant because that's what's going to support you. So if you're a controller, you can't try to be a promoter. You got to be within the controller quadrant. What can I do and can't I do? So understand your natural temperament. Number two, keep your eye on what is important to you. In other words, your why. Focus on the results you want in your life. That's going to help, focusing on that's going to help drive that passion. Overcome the fear of being different from others. You can't let other people influence you not to fulfill your dream. And resist the apathy that often accompanies aging. Oh, my gosh. I see that so often in people that are older, especially in my church. We have people that, they go into retirement and that they think that's the end. And it's like, that's the beginning. Now you have all the free time in the world to do so much work for the Lord. You could do all these things. You could create, oh, my gosh, what a blessing to have the free time to go out and reach out and do 1,000 different things. So, in fact, that might become one of my directionals at church, is working with the retired people, the senior adults, because I just feel that that's just a wealth of knowledge and talent that we don't tap into enough that can really create greatness because of the free time that they have. So, and I see that a lot, even in Manitech. People, I'm so-and-so and I can't make it to presidential. We had a presidential that was like in their late 70s that became presidential. You guys have all the free time in the world. You're not raising children. You don't have 20. That's what's so cool about it. So the opportunity is there for anyone and everyone. And so don't let aging become something that stops you. It's not aging. It's just what you've done. You've allowed the world to quash your dreams. Children are naturally passionate, energetic, and dreamers. So what happens to us? We let people quash that. We let our limiting beliefs come into our lives, and we rob ourselves of that passion. Passion alone will not allow you to achieve your dreams, but I can think of few things that are more important. Isn't that incredible? It will not alone allow you to achieve your dreams, but John Maxwell can think of few things that are more important than passion. Remember what he said at Manifest. He said, there aren't energetic people and non-energetic people. They're passionate people. Passionate people are always energetic people. Number five, do I have a strategy to reach my dream? This is the planning one, and Mary Jo's famous saying, failure to plan is plan to fail. I love to tell people that. I heard that sometime in my life. It's not really my saying. It's really somebody else that introduced that to me, but I love it because I think it's right. Failure to plan is a plan to fail. So we need a plan. Wayne Badovinas gave a strategic planning guide that he put out there. All of you are familiar with it. If you're not, contact Lydia. She'll get you one. But it's on the website, I believe, Manitech's website as well. But the purpose of it is to let you structure a plan. In 2005, a study was published by ThinkTQ, and you know what they found out? 26% focus on specific tangible targets for what they want in life. But as you look down that, how many actually have goals? Less than 20% set goals. 12% identify related daily, weekly, and long-term goals with deadlines. Okay, so there's deadlines. So that's accountability. People don't like deadlines. 90% don't even mess with deadlines, or 88%. And here's the killer. 7% take daily action toward attainment of at least one goal. And the authors of the study said, Americans once again get an F. They fail in the critical area of performance. They fail to consistently take the actions necessary to move their dreams and visions out of their hearts and heads into their lives. 7%. And we wonder, oh, look at the successful people, the top 10% income earners in the country, the top 10% successful people securing their dreams. What's going on? They're the ones that are daily taking action towards attainment of at least one of their goals. All right, and then he puts an acrostic in there. So that just gives you right away a concept of what do you need to do different in your life. Every single day, you should be taking definitive action towards your goals. If you go a day without doing it, I want you at 11 o'clock to make some phone calls. You might have to call some people you're on the East Coast, call them on the West Coast, because then you get a couple hour difference and you're not pulling them out of bed. But the idea is every single day you need to be taking action towards reaching your goals. And you only can do that if you have a strategic plan in place, because otherwise you won't make it happen. Okay, the next thing he does, he gives you an acrostic. The acrostic is the word secure, all right? S is start by stating your positions in the process, your present position, your future position, and the positions in between. So get a structure of where you're going to be. For us in Manitech, that can look like, you know, my future position, I'm going to be platinum presidential. What's my present position? My present position is regional director. What are the positions in between? Here are the positions that I'm going to accrue to. It's far from an exact science, but you kind of get started on it. If that's your goal is to get to platinum presidential, that's what you set here. Because your dream depends on it. Whatever you're going to do with the income you generate depends on you achieving that. So structure that. E stands for examine all your actions. That's a really tough thing for you to do. I have people do that in my pathway class because I want people to see how much free time they really have and how much time they really waste. But you need to look at on a daily basis what are your actions and what do you need to get rid of out of your life? What's a waste of time for you? What are you spending a lot of time? And I don't mean that you shouldn't have downtime. I'm just saying what's dragging you down when you should be having uptime? What's robbing from you time, your only limited asset? And yeah, maybe you make some sacrifices today, and we talk about that later, the price you pay for your dream, but you got to do that. So analyze your actions so that you understand what's robbing you and what's not moving you forward, what's not serving you. C is consider all your options. U in secure is utilize all of your resources, and your resources are tons of things. A good idea is a resource. An excellent team is a resource. A deadline is a resource. Creativity is a resource. Opportunity is a resource. Remove all your non-essentials. What are you willing to give up to achieve your dream? Get rid of the non-essentials. And then the last E stands for embrace all your challenges. When you experience failure, you embrace it. You learn from it. You don't go down the tubes on it. You don't end up in depression on it. You don't let it control your life. And you don't put it into backlog of things and tells you, well, I can't do this, so I can't do it later. So many people do that. They say, well, based on experience, I can't. And I say, experience, throw that out the window. Experience should never limit you in what you can do in the future. In other words, live on the concept of possibilities, not probabilities. One of Maxwell's great books that I love so much is something called Failing Forward, and it's all about that. Failing forward. Every time we fail, we move forward. So we use every failure, every mistake as a learning tool to be better the next go-around. And we all need to fail, and we all need to have mistakes in our life because that's what creates the greatness of who we are. Number 6, have I included the people I need to realize in my dream? And this is about team building, and team building is so important. A dream is a compelling vision you see in your heart that is too big to accomplish without the help of others. That's what Chris Hodges says, and I think it's so true. And in Manitech as well, in other areas of your life, you need to build teams. Teams that give you phenomenal support. Who should be on your team? Well, here's another acrostic they came up with. The CEO of Joy Industries said, called Dream Team. And it gives you ideas of who the people are you want on your team. And boy, this is going to send some of you into a tizz because you're going to go, oh my gosh, this doesn't reflect anyone I have on my team. You might say, oh, because, you know, what happens to us in network marketing, I think, is that we want to build a business for everybody. So we go running around and we grab people. And a lot of times people come into your life that have a ton of stuff going on for them. I mean, they have so many limiting beliefs. They can be negative, sarcastic, cynical, you know, and some of you can relate to this. You can pick out associates you have in your organization. Some of you on the call might even be stuck in some of these patterned behaviors. But it's just choices, people. So you can choose to be different. Just look at how it's serving you and make a better choice about what your behavior is and what your languaging is. Cynical and sarcasm gets you nowhere, gets you absolutely nowhere. So, you know, you choose whether you want to be successful or you want to stay stuck. So what you want to do is you want to evaluate the people around you. And I think in network marketing, a lot of times we just when somebody says yes and they want to, we grab onto them when we surround ourselves with people. And sometimes those people are just like they rob you of joy. And you've got to learn that, you know, there's a concept. Your environment is one of the most important aspects of support on getting you springboarded forward or holding you back. So who you surround yourself with is critical. In fact, I was listening to, some of you might have heard Dave Ramsey last Thursday. He did a national webinar thing across the country, and I was at my church for it, and he did a great job. But one of the things that Dave Ramsey said, and I believe it's so true, that your net worth and your income level is going to fall within 10% of the people who you surround yourself with. So start looking at who you're surrounding yourself with. And start evaluating that. And maybe what you have to do is help those people get the presidential, and you too, so that you can be in that income level together, but achieve that together. So anyway, so who do you want to build as your dream team? You want to have people that dare to focus on your significance, not just success. Respond to your ideas with respect. Expect the best. Affirm your talents. Maximize learning and growth. Take time to give you honest feedback. Encourage you non-judgmentally, accept only excellence since mediocrity kills dreams, and make the most of your mistakes and failures. In fact, I'm going to tell you to take that acrostic, the dream team acrostic, and maybe take it and put it somewhere and evaluate your team. And maybe when you get your team together, I believe in that team should always have statements. They should have mission statements, and they might be, here's the rules of engagement. On our team, this is what we commit to. And you could develop this dream team language as things you all commit to on your team. What a great way of doing it. Characteristics of a good team member, of course, that they need to be inspirational, honest. They need skills that complement yours. That makes a great team. And you need to know how to transfer your dream to your team members and help them transfer their dream. You want to transfer it by not only just your ideas, but you want to transfer it logically, emotionally, and visually, all three. So that's why we have dream boards, so we can transfer our dream with other people. We can get other people on board with us by sharing our dream boards. Emotionally, what does it mean to you emotionally to get that? You share that with people, what this emotionally is going to mean in your life. So, and then the logical aspect of it, what is it? Just the kind of facts of what your dream is. And the size of your dream determines the size of the people who will be attracted to it. So if you have little itty bitty dreams, you're going to attract little itty bitty people. So the idea is to think big. The seventh question, am I willing to pay the price for my dream? This is crucial. Dreams are personal and so are the costs. Some people aren't willing to go through the cost, so they give up on their dreams. Is that their choice? Sure. I think it's a failing choice. It's a choice to fail without ever trying. The question is, what are you willing to sacrifice? And here's some few principles he gives. The dream is free, but the journey isn't. At some point, you have to make a transition from believer of the dream to buyer of the dream. Buyer of the dream means you pay a price. You buy the dream. You just don't believe in it. You buy it. No dream comes true without somebody paying for it. So understand there's a price you're going to have to pay. The price must be paid sooner than you think. Dreams confess create conflict. So immediately upon you confessing your dream, you're going to create inherent conflict. So if you're not paying for it yet, you will be soon. Dreams are like money. The earlier you buy into it, sorry, there's a typo here. Or there's a sentence that was dropped. The earlier you buy into it, the more the rewards compound over time. The earlier you buy into it, the more the rewards compound over time. So those of you who are into the big P, the big procrastination, every time you come up against a cost, you forfeit the dream temporarily. Well, you know, you're just leaving money on the table. You're leaving results on the table. You're leaving happiness and joy, and you're leaving effectiveness on the table because you're postponing the inevitable. If you ever want that dream, you're going to have to pay the cost and the price. The price will be higher than you expect. never has he heard that the price was a lot less than I imagined from anyone becoming successful in their life and achieving their dreams. It's always the opposite. The price was always greater than they expected. And the price must be paid more than once. In fact, I'll tell you that the price never stops. But would you rather live a life of regrets, or would you rather pay some price of achieving your dreams? I think that question is really easy to answer. Is it possible to pay too much for your dream? Absolutely. We see some people who have a dream and they give up their marriage and their family, and they give up what? They give up their health. Sometimes they compromise their values. And I think once you compromise your values, you've compromised everything in my book, because you damage your soul. So you don't want to give up all of that. So watch out for the price you're willing to pay. The price is more in terms of, what are you going to give up? Are you going to give up your basketball, your baseball? You give up TV? You're going to give up the things that you care about that you might really enjoy doing. Perhaps you give some of that up. Those are the prices I'm talking about, not giving up your marriage. Three major costs everyone needs to pay to achieve their dream are, number one, dealing with criticism from people who matter. And how many of you have had that in your life? I know there are a lot of people on this call today that will tell me, Mary Jo, my husband just keeps on criticizing me all the time about my Manatech business. And my number one retort to you is, you know what? Prove him wrong. When are you going to step into it and just be so successful, darn successful, and see what he says then? So take it on. Don't let it burst your bubble. You can choose to do that, but what a terrible choice. Then you can live a life of regrets. Number two, overcoming your fears. Dreams are outside your comfort zone. They always are. Everything you want in life is outside your comfort zone. So what does that mean you need to do? Get outside the comfort zone. Is that going to be scary? Absolutely. Every time you bounce up against that wall in the comfort zone, you're going to go, oh my gosh, here I got to bust through this wall, and fear is going to enter in. So the cost price you're going to have to pay is busting through those fears. And you're going to have to pay the price of hard work. Thomas Paine said, the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives us everything its value. So what's true here is that we need to work hard to achieve. We're going to value something. We're going to give it its dearness because it's so tough to achieve. So we want to work hard. You know, it's that statement that anything worthwhile is going to have adversity, so we're going to come up against it. The eighth question is, am I moving closer to my dream? Am I moving closer to my dream? In other words, what direction are you headed right now in your life? H. Jackson Brown, in his book, Life's Little Instruction Book, rule number one, take one more step. When you can't take one more step, refer to rule number one. I love that one. In other words, when you can't move any further, take one more step. When you're totally stuck, take one more step. So many of us get stuck and we stop moving. I get people doing that in Manatech all the time. They get stuck and they stop moving. They get frozen. They go, oh, Mary Jo, I just can't do this anymore. I said, well, then do it one more time. And they start laughing at me. Kind of like in the Stephen Covey book where the guy comes to me and says, well, I just don't love my wife anymore. And he goes, well, then just love her. And the guy goes, what do you mean? Of course, that one had more to do with the definition of love, but it was just the concept about when you can't do anything more, then just do it more. Because we all have the capacity. We all do. It's just that we feel frustrated. Something's trying to stop us, but don't let outside circumstances stop you. You control the inside. Successful people continue to move closer to their dreams no matter what obstacles, circumstances, or injustices. They persevere. Okay? They persevere. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the majority of men are bundles of beginnings. Oh, what does that mean? They love to start things, but they never finish them. Correct. Problem. Correct. We start and then stop. Are you just a starter or also a finisher? I know some of you are finishers out there. You've been in Manatech 10 years and you're still working at it. All I want to ask you is, where's your strategy? What are you going to do differently? Because what you've been doing hasn't been working, so let's do something different. And that's something you have to start looking at. But you got to persevere. You got to persevere. Don't give up on it. Don't say, well, I've done enough because I have my products paid for. No, you haven't done enough, because there's billions of people out there with memory problems that desperately need Ambertose, and now you have a double-blind placebo study that supports it. So go out there and get them started on Ambertose. Okay, The next is, I love this one. Calvin Coolidge said, persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, press on, has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race. Isn't that something? What does it mean? Rule one, take one more step. When you can't take one more step, refer to rule one. Exactly. That's what Calvin Coolidge, just saying it a different way. Recognize that quitting is more about who you are than where you are. So people rationalize why they quit. And I put in there about Manitech, the Texas AG, the skincare, the Lost Associates, Global View. We had 101 reasons why you could rationalize to quit Manitech in the last 3 to 5 years in this company, because we've had a lot of things that have impacted our business, not in such a positive way. But you know what? That's just a rationalization. The reason you quit is what's internal to you. It's not external. It's on the inside. It's failure to believe. So the only guarantee for failure is to stop trying, is to stop working at it. And in fact, that's why they tell you in network marketing, the only way you're going to fail in this business is to quit. Because you just keep plodding along and plodding along and plodding along and working at it and working at it. You're like the little engine that did, you know, and you just keep chugging and chugging and chugging, and you eventually get there. In each of us is a lower self and a greater self. The lower self leads us to defeat and the greater one to victory. For example, the lower self says, not enough people believe in me, I'm going to fail. But the greater self says, my belief in myself is enough, I can make this. To move closer to your dream, what you got to do with that is you got to control that lower self. You got to quash that thought process. You got to quash that little voice in your head that keeps pulling you down. And you got to be the greater self. See, the more to move closer to your dream, you must also change your vocabulary. We have a real vocabulary problem. Our vocabulary problem exists because we've gotten lazy with our language. Lazy language is self-defeating. The power of words is immense. I work on this every day, every single day. I hear languaging out of people, and I tighten up because they don't get it, what their language is doing. And I see parents around children with this kind of language, and it just drives me crazy because I want to scoop those precious little children up, and I want to take them in. And I want to dismiss all that languaging because I know the impact it has on people's lives. It just shuts you down. So it's the power of words is immense. Saying you believe in yourself will not guarantee success, but saying you won't will guarantee failure. So we don't want to use negative language. So where do we come from? The negative language of can't goes out the window and replace, and what we replace it with is can do. We don't go, we never have done it before. No, you never use that language. You go, we have an opportunity to be the first. Listen, it says the same thing. It's just one's positive, one's negative. We don't have the resources. Necessity fuels invention. There's not enough time. We'll change how we work. We already tried that. We learned from the experience. It's a waste of time. Think of the possibilities. We don't have the expertise. Let's network with those who do. So you see, the language is just, it's all languaging. It's like we need to start using, I can go on and on and on, but we need to start using positive language. D, conditions will never be perfect. Don't wait for your ship to come in, swim out to meet it. That's Jonathan Winters. As I tell everybody, your ship's already docked. It's you that's holding yourself back. Change your thinking. Positive is the only way. Through all the thick and thin, you want to keep a positive thought process. Attitude, remember everybody, attitude is everything. That's kind of Jet statement. I don't think it's everything, but I think it's major. It's kind of what John Maxwell says. It's not everything, but, you know, without it, you have nothing. The resources for your dreams stop the moment you do. In other words, you quash the energy around you and the resources in the universe around you supporting you. Practice the rule of five. Every day, do 5 things to get you closer to your goal, no matter what happens. And I'd go more into that, but we don't have time. Remember that when you think you have exhausted all possibilities, you haven't. That's all you got to remember. Whenever you think you've exhausted all possibilities, get creative one more time. 9, question is, does working toward my dream bring satisfaction? Working toward a dream is more than about the accomplishments. It's truly about the journey. And this chapter I love so much because it's what I always talk about. When people talk about becoming presidential, I always say it's not about being presidential. It's about the journey I took to get there. And it's also today about the journey once I achieved it, because I'm never off the journey of self-growth and self-development and trying to be better, trying to improve my skills as a leader, as a trainer. It's always on my mind, first and foremost, to be the best I can be so that I can be the most effective I can with everyone out there that I interact with. So it's about the journey, people. The journey itself must be fulfilling. Our journey is a long way, so if we don't feel a sense of fulfillment along the way, we'll tend to be in trouble because we'll give up. We'll abandon the journey. So you want to make sure the journey is fulfilling to you. Fulfilled people understand the difference between the dream and its realization. Fulfilled people understand the size of the dream determines the size of the gap. In other words, the gap being the time in which you initiate the dream and its manifestation. Fulfilled people keep dreaming while making the journey. Fulfilled people appreciate each step forward along the journey. The twin killers of success are impatience and greed, says Jim Rohn. That's a great quote. So fulfilled people will make new discoveries well in the gap. In other words, in between the time that you initiate your dream and the time you achieve it, you'll make incredible discoveries along the way. And that's the beauty of the dream. It opens up a whole new reality for us that we get to go out there and achieve different things in our life and get a newness of life and a refreshment of who we are and what we become in the process. And that's what it's all about. I truly believe this company is about building people. It's not reaching platinum presidential. It's who you become in the process of achieving that. That's what's 10 times more important. So that's about making that dream satisfaction, finding satisfaction in the process, in the journey. And number 10 is, does my dream benefit others? If a man, for whatever reason, has the opportunity to lead an extraordinary life, he has no right to keep it to himself. Jacques-Yves Cousteau. This is a significance question. There's a great book out there I read about 10 years ago called Halftime. If you want to get it, I suggest it. It's by Bob Buford. He talks about the first half of our life we lead in struggles. We're growing and learning and getting financially secure, and we're out there and just working hard, and we're focusing on raising family and all sorts of things. By the time we hit that mid-age area in the 40s, now it's time to give back. The second half is riskier because it has to do with living beyond the immediate. In other words, it's about what are we going to create different in this world? What are we giving back to this world? It's about focusing on others exclusively and saying, how can we create a better world out there? And that's truly where I believe I exist today. It's about every day. I just had another big meeting about doing another major project here in Texas around homelessness, homeless children, and I can't wait to jump both feet into that. It's hard because my platter's so full, and I know Lydia keeps saying we don't have time. But, you know, if we don't have time for homeless children, I don't know what we got going on in our lives. There's just some certain things that just really rock my boat, and that's one of the things. And I have a real passion for children. So for me, it's really important. So it's like, what are we doing? And that's why God lays different things on your heart. He gives you different dreams to fulfill because he knows you have the capacity. He's never going to pour too much on you that you can't create. So we need to go out there and make that happen. But we need to be financially secure. We need to have a provision there somewhere that we need to be able to know where that finance is coming and the strategy around that. Maybe that's what Manatech is for you in your life. It's that source. So what price are you willing to pay? Maybe you're going to forego another dream you have for yourself because Manatech's going to give you the financial provision to allow that dream to really take off and get to fruition. Mother Teresa said, a day lived without doing something good for others is a day not worth living. I totally agree. Adding value to others is a sure way of adding value to our own lives. Woodrow Wilson, I'll end with this. Woodrow Wilson said, you are here to enrich the world, and you impoverish yourself if you forget the errand. That's a great quote. Thank you, John Maxwell, for giving us all this great insight. Thank you for this wonderful book. Thank you for allowing me to teach it and open people's minds up to how to put their dream to the test. And everybody on the call, if you have some comments, I'll open it up for some few comments. We went over a little bit, but I did tackle a lot today. But it's a great book if you feel like it's going to serve you in a way that you want more understanding of some of these different issues. Definitely get access to the book, Put Your Dream to the Test, by John Maxwell. Anyone have any questions or issues? Anything strike you, or did it overwhelm you today with too much?
Mary Jo, when you were doing that list around, when you were on number four, you were doing the list on study while others sleep and da-da-da-da-da-da.
Uh-huh.
Would you send that out to us? That was really good.
That wasn't
was
that great?
Really good. Yes,
what are we doing?
You talk fast, and I couldn't write fast enough. I think I should just send that out.
The one that believe while others are doubting, plan while others are playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually from a poet, William Arthur Ward. Okay? And let me tell you, give you the site, so maybe you can even look it up yourself.
Okay.
Hang on, I don't know where he puts the citation. I'll try to get that for you.
I thought there'd probably be some. Because when you were saying make a list of that other thing, I thought I'd like to like make a list of that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great one. It's just a great one to put in front of you and say, hey, here's my choices I can make. I can be doing this or I can be doing that. Let's see what chapter it's in. I got to get the chat. It's hard to get all this stuff. It's in my chapter on... Am I depending on factors in my control? Is that the one in this note? Does my dream compel? I got to find chapter first. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Somebody else has a chapter four. Here, I'll give you it right. I got it right now, and then I'll answer the next one. William Arthur Ward, believe while others are doubting. Okay, that's what it is.
Okay.
Believe while others are doubting. You might be able to find it, but I'll send it out to you. Okay.
Okay. I bet a lot of us would like it.
Sure, you bet. I'll send it out. No question.
Mary Jo, all the stuff that you're ad-libbing that's not exactly on all the notes, is all in the book, or is that from you, too?
Some of it's from me, but the majority of it would come from the book. It would just be other things that I remembered as I, you know what I mean? When I make the outline, I make an outline because I could make you a 400-page outline. But I go back before I train, like this morning between my coaching calls. I'll go back and I'll just read through my outline, and then I'll make notes on the side of things that I remembered from the book, you know what I mean, as I read it. So, but some of it's my interpretation, but probably the majority of it comes out of the book. But you can always re-listen to the call, too, because this is all taped, as you know.
Mary Jo, do you schedule time in your week for doing all of this reading?
I dedicate a lot of time. I try to read, you know, 4 to 5 books a month. I love to read, but that's just a passion of mine because I truly believe that reading is what stimulates us into becoming, you know, is a transformational process. It allows us to open our minds and our hearts up to a different beingness as well as different habits in our life that we need to absorb, and it's very impactful for me. So that's why I love to read, because I'm one of these people that can read a book and I can train it the next day. It's just a capacity I have, and I don't expect a lot of people to have that, but it's just one of the gifts I've been given, so I utilize that. But I do enjoy knowledge. I really enjoy concepts and ideas that really help me focus better and help me be a better person. And then I, of course, try to get other people to absorb it as well. But I also teach people how to read books. I give you that outline that I use, and I think I've passed that out to you guys before in the past on the Monday call about, you know, here's a directional that each time you read a chapter in a book, you know, everybody likes to tell you that they just read a good book, and I go, well, how did it change your life? And they look at me like, well, what do you mean? And I go, good books should change your life.
Yeah.
Right? Don't you agree? A good book should change your life. Like this book for me, reading this book is changing my life because I'm putting my dreams when I come up with ideas, just like this new homeless thing that I'm coming up with, I'm putting it to the dream test. And then I'm going to go after that and say, okay, where's my strategy? And I'm going to sit back and say, okay, I have to do certain things. I'm going to be more structured about how I approach things because of this book.
Awesome. And one more question. What is the name of the double-blind placebo-controlled study on memory?
I gave you in the outline. If you have the outline on the front page of the outline, I gave you the link. Lydia put the link there to get it, so you can download. All I have that she gave me was the one that came across as the news release. Lydia, do you have the study in there that you can? You have to buy the study. I'll give you the name of it though. I'll get up and get it.
I'm sorry, I just didn't get in.
Oh, that's okay. I'll give you. I'll give you the name of it. It's called Glyconutrients and Perception, Cognition, and Memory. Glyconutrients and Perception, Cognition, and Memory by Atiya Stansel and Leslie Hicks from Howard University. And it's published in the Perpetual and Motor Skills 2009. It looks like it's on pages 259 through 270, and it's the 108, must be the journal number. Okay? So that's where it's
allowed,
published.
Are you allowed to show that to people?
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Absolutely.
And what about this outbreak of swine flu? I mean, are we allowed to tell people this will help your immune system?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You cannot tell people to take Immunostart to prevent from getting swine flu.
But you are
allowed to tell people, oh, my gosh, you know, one of the problems with swine flu, it's like we know that an epidemic is going to occur in this world because everybody's immune system is so impaired today. And swine flu might be just what that next one's going to be. But, you know, what you want to do is you want to try to avoid any kind of thing impacting you and your family's life because we know our immune systems are so degraded and downgraded and impaired, is to take a product like Immunostart. Now, that doesn't say taking it's going to stop you from getting swine flu. It's just a general statement about wellness. Make the general statement about wellness, but do not tie it directly to the swine flu. Because today it's swine flu, tomorrow it'll be diphtheria, the next day it'll be, you know, I mean, we're always going to be accosted with things in our lives, so why not have the best protection you possibly can, which is let's build our immune systems. And Immunostart has terrific products as well as Ambritose. So, you know, you can go out there and suggest people take it, but don't guarantee or tie it directly to prevention, because we can't make the assertion that Immunostart prevents you from contracting swine flu. That you cannot say.
Right. Thanks.
Mary Jo, can you repeat that? Glyconutrients and Perception, Cognition.
Yeah. The name of the study is called Glyconutrients and Perception, Cognition, and Memory. That's the title.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
I just want to thank you for sharing your gift with us, this gift you have for interpreting a book and making it just such a great call for all of us. And then I have a question about your reference to a Deepak Chopra.
Uh-huh.
That was seven laws of, was that spiritual success?
Hang on, let me see. Yeah, I think it's seven laws of spiritual success. I think his book is The Law of Least Effort in Deepak Chopra's The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. That's his.
Okay.
The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. And he talks about the law of least effort. Yeah, and it really is, it just keeps, you know, we keep coming across this, that that's so much fun about those principles is that we find them over and over and over and over again in books and books and books and books, that we focus on our strengths. And you know what's so cute about that? Let me just highlight that because you guys are triggering something in me. Because when I read about that, I keep thinking, well, boy, you know what? How interesting this is to me that I come across in Manatech. You know, we have the personality quadrants. And you come across somebody who's an analyst, and you go, okay, now here's an analyst, somebody that just needs all the depth of all the information and is very entrenched in data, 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 and their number one drive in life is they can't be wrong, okay? Now, some of you can relate to that. So if an analyst is going to emphasize their strength, why do we keep trying to make people into promoters? Why aren't we going and approaching an analyst and saying, wow, here's the way you do the business. You follow me? We keep trying to make everybody go out there and go and contact 10 people a day and da-da-da-da-da. Well, an analyst is going to have a hard time doing that. It's going to take them 6 months just to figure out how to do it. But an analyst, so maybe what we really need to be doing with people in different quadrants is saying, here is your strength. Do you feel this is your strength? Are you passionate about data? Are you passionate about this new study that just came out? Great. Now take your analyst who's passionate about the study and then say, how do you see yourself able to incorporate that into finding, you know, people? You follow me? So let's tap into their strength. you know, for us as promoters, we, you know, I love the study. Well, I also have an analyst side to me. But you know what? I just love people. So I just love going out and talking to people about anything. But the study is purely an asset for us. But for an analyst quadrant, this could be a home run ball for them. So we need to, when all these books and all these great authors and successful people are keep telling us the law of least efforts, focus on your strengths, we got to start looking at those personality quadrants, seeing what are these people's strengths instead of trying to transform them into something they're not. Do we not need to help support them in their strength and then show them how that strength can cause them to be a tremendously effective network marketer? Okay.
Exactly.
There you go.
Thank
so
you.
There's your challenge. Okay, great.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
Len, for those studies, I noticed that study is listed on manatechscience.org.
Uh-huh.
If you go to peer-reviewed articles and publications, they list all those studies, including the one that we just heard about. And of course, they don't give it. They just reference it, and a person would have to go dig it out to get it.
But at least they're listed there. They do list them there, yeah. And if you want to get a copy of it, I actually secured a copy of it. You can go to that. I think you can either go to Perpetual and Motor Skills website, and you can pay probably $12 or something. They'll charge you something to download it.
Right.
I don't know what the fee is, but if you want a copy of it, you can do that. But I don't think you really. Yeah, I mean, you could get a copy, but I'm not sure you really need one. I think you can just use the publication of the newsprint. You know, the news article that came out on it. I think that's adequate as well. Yeah, because it's not. It doesn't get into, I mean, it gets into, I mean, I'll tell you, the first line of the study goes, declines in the nutritional content of agricultural products due to current agricultural practices have been widely reported. As a result, fruits, vegetables, and grains are often depleted of essential antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, and sugars, carbohydrates. There is nevertheless an abundance of information and research highlighting the importance of it. So they build, I mean, it goes into, it's a great study for somebody to read if you have, you know, I will use this with a medical professional, you know. That's where you might want to use the whole study.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
Do you know if the study was done with advanced Ambritos or the classic?
Hang on a second. Let me see if it tells me in the back. My suspicion is advanced.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say, let's see. I haven't read the whole study, so I can't tell you. I would have to look at it. I will review it.
Complex. It was done on the original.
It was done on original?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it says in the book?
It says the impact of Ambritos complex on the brain function. It was the original.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You might check it out, but I think it was that because they would have called it advanced Ambritos, and they're still calling the old one Ambritos complex.
Uh-huh. Here it is. The glyconutrients of it contain arabinogalactin, rice starch, aloe vera gel extract, gum gatti, glucosamine HCI, and gum tragacanth. Uh-huh. Yeah, it says Ambritos complex with a registration mark on it. Mhm. Yeah, so it was done with apparently with the original. Yep, there you go.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
I looked at the label of advanced, and the label on advanced says advanced Ambritos complex.
Yeah, but this one just says Ambritos complex. They do have two different names. One's advanced Ambritos. They both are Ambritos complex. I agree with you on that. Let me just pursue that. Let me do this for you guys just to make sure. I'll get in contact with Rob Sennett, and I'll let you know. How's that? Ta-da! Get the definitive from the guy behind the study.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Jo, I got one more question. This might be just a short one. I just found out yesterday of a dear a friend. In fact, my accountant, his wife just came back from the doctor. She apparently had lung cancer and has been sent home with 3 to 4 months to live. And how can I approach her legally and say, you know, about this material and about you know, Ambritos and so on? What would be a way of approaching that?
Oh, my gosh. We still can approach anyone who's sick. We go to them and we just talk to them about the critical importance of supporting their human body to do whatever the body can do. We get it that you're going to use traditional medical therapy if that's your choice, right? But we also know that the success rate isn't so great around the traditional, and it's why not, if you have to construct a building, why don't you, you know, bring every possible party that can support you to get the best results to the table to build the best possible building? Well, all I'm here to tell you is that you've got one piece of the puzzle, but you need this other piece around that's called wellness, right? I'm trying to support your body and your cells and your own, what God gave you to be your best healer, to maximize its ability to support itself and to help prevent you from having ramifications and other things that might happen because of the damage that could be done by the therapy that you're choosing in the medical arena. So let's try to get the body in its best, you know, wellness posture. And that's what these products are about. And then you describe the different science behind them. So you don't have to tie it to cancer. You just talk about, hey, you know, there's the allopathic way, and you know, you got to look at both ways of handling this problem. And there's many, and she can even do other things. I mean, I'm not sure I would stop at that, but you know, it's just another, it's a, putting together all the possible forces to give you the maximum results instead of relying on one. They work together. They're compatible, and it creates the best results. So that's how I would approach it. Okay.
Good.
Not worrying about the disease. You know, when people ask you about, you know, well, what has this done for other cancer patients, you say, you know what, we can't represent to you any kind of testimonials because it's against the law. All I can tell you is this company's been in business for 16 years. It's doing $400 million in sales, and it's not because the products haven't seen remarkable results in people's health. That's what causes it to be where it is today. You get it? There's
got
a testimonial for you that just knocked their socks off. And the other thing you can tell people, when you get down to the last breath and they're still not buying into it, I go look at them and I go, you know what? Did you believe any of the things I said? And they go, yeah, Mary Jo, I, you know, a lot of that stuff. And I just said, but I just don't, how do I know it's going to work for me? I says, you know what? That's the beauty of Manatech. You don't have to know, because Manatech has a 100% money back guarantee. I use that as my last thing. If I can't get them to see it and buy it, that's my last thing I pull out. And sometimes I don't even present it. Didn't I teach you guys how to present that one? I'll look at the person, they'll say, well, I just don't know if it, and I said, well, what if you could take this for 6 months, and if it didn't work for you, you could get 100% of your money back, so you had no financial risk. What if? And they look at me and they go, well, Mary Jo, that's a no-brainer. I said, okay, give me your Social Security number. You follow me? I don't tell them we have 100% money. I put it in the terms of what if. What if you could take this product at whatever quantity you choose for the next 6 months, and if you weren't satisfied with what it did in your body, you could get all your money back. What if that were true for you? And they'll go, well, Mary Jo, that's a no-brainer. Of course I would do it. And I go, okay, give me your Social Security number and your credit card, because we're going. And they'll go, what do you mean? I go, that's what we have. Manatech is so sure of the effectiveness of their products that they have 100% money back. And they'd have to be insane to do something like that if they didn't know that they know what kind of impact this has on the human body. Right?
Okay. Mary Jo, we just had Sam here last Thursday, and he said they've only had 1% ever returned of everything since they've had that guarantee.
Yeah, isn't that something?
That's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mary Jo, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Economic stimulus plan, the Bill Merlo, reading through the thing. What is the best website to send people to if you don't want to buy the brochure and you just want them to look at it quick?
There you go. It's 3kin30days.com. www.3k, the number 3k in 330days.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay, I got to run, people, because I got a call coming up. So I love you all. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week. I'm still working on Terry Petrovic. I've done a ton of background stuff now on social marketing. I know more than I ever cared to know myself. But I still have Terry on the line. He's not quite ready to be with us next Monday, so trust me, we'll have another great call. But we're still lining up to have that done for you if you're interested. All right, love you all.